Hey, y'all. Welcome to episode 27 of the Growing Space podcast. In today's episode, I am going to answer some of your questions that I have received so far about spring planting. And I'm also going to share some information with you about planting blueberries because all of my blueberry bushes are starting to flower. And I'm just feeling really inspired by my blueberry bush collection that I have. And I thought maybe you all might enjoy hearing some tips on how to shop for blueberries and plant blueberries. So that is what we are going to cover today in this week's episode. Before we jump in, I do just want to share that I absolutely love answering questions. It's one of my favorite things that I get to do as the patio farmer. Anytime, literally anytime you have a question that you want to run by me about growing food at home, please know that my door is always open for you. So if you would like for me to answer your questions on this podcast, you can always send them to thegrowingspacepodcast@gmail.com. Again, it's thegrowingspacepodcast@gmail.com. I'll be sure to put a link in the show notes. You can also reach out to me on Instagram or on Facebook. My handles on both are The Patio Farmer, so I'm very easy to find there. All right, y'all. So I have a few questions to answer from you guys, and then we will talk all about blueberries in today's episode. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Growing Space Podcast. I'm your host, Farmer Erin, owner of The Patio Farmer, and I believe that no matter what size space you have, you can grow food at home. Tune in every Tuesday as I share my best tips, tricks, and encouragement for tending to homegrown edible plants. I'm here to support your food growing journey. The Growing Space Podcast is sponsored by Plant Club by The Patio Farmer. Plant Club by The Patio Farmer is a monthly subscription service I started in 2020. It's a membership-based opportunity to take your growing journey to the next level. With four different membership options, you get to decide the amount and kind of support that's right for you. All Plant Club members receive access to my online community through a platform called Circle. Having access to this platform allows members to share pictures, ask questions, celebrate harvests, and get to know each other. All Plant Club members also have access to free seeds each month, along with information on how to plant and tend to their crops, with seeding instructions and downloadable resources from the Patio Farmer's Resource Library. Membership starts at just $14 a month. Join Plant Club today by visiting my website, thepatiofarmer.com/membership. I hope that this new season has started off well for you. As a reminder, I did launch a brand new masterclass last week on the spring equinox. I also went on TV. Oh my gosh, I did. I went on TV last week to talk about my new masterclass. So be sure to check the link in today's show notes if you want to catch my segment. And I will also put the link directly to my masterclass if you would like to take a look and sign up for that. It's really great. I love it. And I think you will too, especially if you're looking to really hone in on some key elements to success. My masterclass is called The Six S's to Success. And I literally walk you through every single thing that I could think about related to sun, scoping sunlight, understanding how your perspective of the sun changes in your growing space throughout the year, throughout the seasons. I talk about space, so getting your raised beds set up, your containers, even in-ground growing and edible landscaping. I have a fun little freebie resource tucked in about edible landscaping hacks for me, which is included in the masterclass. I also talk about soil, all the amazing things that soil does for us, how to shop for soil, how to compost, soil nutrients, plant macronutrients. I'm obsessed with soil. And I think that that module is the biggest module. So that shows you just how much I love soil and how important it is for our plants. I also talk about growing for the season, and there's a full section about seeds, how to shop for seeds, my favorite seed companies, which I've done a podcast episode on before, but I also walk you through like different considerations for planning your space and knowing whether, you know, you should plant something from seed or use a seedling. And then I also talk all about supervision. That's the last S, the sixth S to success is supervision. So there's a lot of like plant care, plant maintenance tips tucked into that module. So there's over 4 hours. Wow, I know. Over 4 hours of content, recorded content that I share in the masterclass. And I had a lot of fun putting it together. I also tucked in a little over 20, crazy, I know, 20 different resources and downloadables for you. In the masterclass is an exclusive maintenance plan for my top 30 homegrown crops. So like I said, there's a lot in that masterclass, and I think I have it priced at just a steal of a deal. So be sure to check that link in today's show notes. And I would love to see you in the masterclass and help you be as successful as possible this year in your growing space. The masterclass is accessible to anyone, anywhere. As I have listeners who are tuning in from all over, just know that it is accessible to you. Okay? So we're going to talk about these two questions that I have received from listeners. These actually came in from Instagram. So I appreciate you all following along on my Instagram stories. I do like to show up on Instagram stories as much as possible. And so I was really excited to hear these two questions come in. The question that I'm going to kick off with is, how do I keep my chickens out of my growing space? If you do have backyard chickens or you're considering getting backyard chickens, I will just quickly state that you should go back and listen to my interview all about backyard chickens. It was episode 25. It was very recently put out. And I interviewed David Blackley and Presley Williams from a local hardware store and business here in the Charlotte area, Renfro Hardware and Farm. And they shared tons of great information about backyard chickens. And the person who sent in this question is like one of my most loyal followers and a fellow chicken mom. And she's been in plant club since the beginning. So huge shout out to you. You know who you are. How do I keep my chickens out of my growing space without putting up a huge fence? Great question. My go-to solution for any unwanted visitors in my growing space is never to start with a fence. First of all, fencing can be expensive to put in. And sometimes, you know, depending on your space, putting up fencing makes it more challenging for you to get in. It can reduce the amount of space that you have to be growing in. You know, so sometimes putting up that barrier is just not the best solution. For example, even if you put up a fence, chickens can fly. They don't do it often, but they can fly and they can, you know, jump around and get into spaces. Even if there's fencing, squirrels will also, you know, climb and get into things. Even if there's fencing, fencing is usually helpful for like deer. Obviously, a really tall fence is helpful for deer, usually like 8 to 9 feet for deer. And then with squirrels, you know, if you're putting up fencing, then you also need to put netting over the fence to keep them out, because of course they'll climb up and jump in. Fencing, sometimes this is the best solution for space, but it's not usually where I like to start. Usually where I like to start is with companion planting. Now, if this term is new to you, then we can just review quickly what companion planting is, or some crops that are great companion plants for all kinds of different animals, big animals and the tiniest of animals, are your herbs, especially an herb that has a fragrant flower on it. So some examples that you could use to help deter chickens would be herbs and flowers like peppermint. That one comes with an asterisk, of course. If you are going to plant peppermint as a companion plant, keep that in a pot. Don't put it in the ground. Don't put it in your raised bed. Peppermint, spearmint, any mint will be very determined and hard to get rid of if you ever decide that you don't want it there. So planting peppermint and other mints in pots and moving them around your space as needed. You can also plant things like marigolds, catnip, chives, marjoram, lavender, yarrow, sage, thyme, tansy, and plenty more. And then the second question that came in, which I love this question so much because it speaks to the essence of the patio farmer. And the question that came in, this also came in through Instagram stories. So thank you for sending this one in. But the question is, what can I grow in containers? And what a beautiful question, especially for spring. And if you ask me, of course, being the patio farmer, I'm a little partial, but I would say that you can plant anything you want in a container. As the patio farmer, if someone tells me, oh, you can't plant that in a pot, then I take it like as a little bit of a challenge. I'm like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to grow it in a pot and it's going to be successful. So watch out. But it's true. You can grow any edible plant, whether it's a perennial or a reseeding annual, in pots and containers at home. Now, the biggest thing that you'll want to keep in mind, I mean, obviously, I have tons of thoughts on this subject. And if you're interested in really digging in more on what all you can grow at home and in containers, I would, suggest maybe taking a look at that masterclass that I was talking about, because there's so many different things to keep in mind. But at a quick glance, what I would recommend is using high quality containers, high quality soil, and making sure that you have the right size container and you're using the right kind of material for your container for your space. Now, we are getting ready to talk about blueberries, and I will tell you that I grow my blueberries in pots, in containers. So no matter what kind of food you're interested in growing at home, whether it's a big perennial plant, a fruit-producing plant, or something as simple as like some perennial herbs or some leafy greens, those are all super great for growing in containers. Thank you both again for sending in your questions. And don't forget, you guys, like, feel free anytime you have a question to just send it over to me at thegrowingspacepodcast@gmail.com, or you can send it to me via my DMs on Instagram or Facebook. I am at the patio farmer on both, and I will put links to all of that wonderful information in today's show notes. Okay, so this is kind of fun. I was just in the middle of editing this week's podcast episode, and I happened to check Instagram, and I had another question come in from you guys. And so I want to just plug this in mid-edit edition to the show. So the question that came in is how to know what you should use a seed or a seedling for, and what is best to use in Charlotte for spring. So I feel like there's maybe two parts to this question. One, what are the things that you can grow in Charlotte right now in spring? For those of you who don't know, I am located in Charlotte, North Carolina. We are in the USDA Hardiness Zone 8A. So we have a very mild climate year-round, so we can be growing food all year round in our spaces. And then the second part of this question is, what should you use a seedling for versus directly sow in the ground? This is a great question. I get this question all the time, and I never get tired of answering it because I love seeding and obviously working with plants. But to keep this answer short and sweet, what you can plant in the spring, in the cool seasons, are your leafy greens, your root vegetables, your bulb vegetables, and any of your herbs except for basil. The reason why you can plant all of those things in the cool seasons is because they survive a frost. So if we get a late season frost, you don't have to worry about covering any of your leafy greens, roots, bulbs, herbs, etc., except for basil, if you have that growing. Now, my general rule of thumb whenever I am planting is to use seeds, to directly sow seeds as much as possible. Spring and fall crops, I would recommend direct seeding those, except your big leafy greens that take a long time to mature. So things like broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, especially if you're planting those now. So this episode is going out at the end of March. I would definitely use seedlings for those, plus any perennial herbs. So I hope that helps. And I'm glad that I saw this question before scheduling the episode to go out. Thank you for sending that in. If you want to learn more about knowing what to plant for each season and even more information about choosing what you should plant from seed versus seedling, then maybe take a look at my masterclass, because there's tons of great information and knowledge tucked inside answering those questions specifically and in tons more detail. So thanks for that. Okay. And now we are going to switch over and we're going to spend the rest of this week's episode talking about growing blueberries at home, okay? So this is really fun. Like I said, all of my blueberry bushes, they are just full of buds, full of blooms, and wherever there's a bloom on a blueberry plant is where you'll get a little blueberry later on in the season. So I'm just going to share a couple of high-level tips for you to consider when you are growing blueberries. I will also share that blueberries, if you are local to Charlotte, I do have blueberries up on my online store now. So if you're interested in growing any blueberries, be sure to take a look on my website. I'll put a link in today's show notes. But I can deliver these berry bushes and any supplies that you need if you live in the greater Charlotte area. So that would be residents of Mecklenburg County, Gaston County, Union, Cabarrus, York County in South Carolina, and Lancaster County in South Carolina. And then the Lake Norman area of Lincoln and Iredell counties, I deliver to all of those places. So you can visit my online store and place an order for delivery, and I'll bring you some blueberries to plant in your backyard. So great. The first thing that I wanted to share about blueberries is their plant family. Now, this kind of references a little mini series that I was doing earlier this spring, all about the spring plant families. Blueberries are one of the only edible members of this plant family, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about the specific plant family, but I will tell you, give you a little spoiler, that next week we're going to pick up that plant family mini-series again, and I have two episodes that I'm going to do about two summer plant families, the Cucurbitaceae plant family will be lined up for next week. And then the following week is the Solanaceae plant family. And then the week after that, I have a special treat for y'all, another guest interview for the podcast with one of my favorite growers. He is a wealth of information, and I don't think I know anyone who knows more about tomatoes than Craig LaHoulier. So get excited. Because the NC Tomato Man, the namer of the Cherokee Purple heirloom tomato, published author two times over, about to be a third time over. He's incredible. So Craig was gracious enough to agree to an interview with me for the podcast, and I'm going to be sharing that later in April. So lots of good content all about summer plant families headed your way soon. But like I was saying, for today, we are going to be talking about the blueberries. Now, the blueberry is a member of the heath plant family, or the Ericaceae plant family. So the heath family is full of flowering plants, and some of blueberry's cousins are azaleas, rhododendrons, and mountain laurel. So that is who the blueberry is most closely related to. As a member of the heath plant family, blueberries really appreciate growing in an acidic soil. That's one of the most important things that you keep in mind when you are planting blueberries at home, is that you usually need to add some kind of soil acidifier before you plant your blueberries. This is also something that goes into ongoing maintenance of your blueberry plants once you get them home and planted, is to add some soil acidifier, usually once or twice a year. It's important for the plant to have a more acidic soil to help them absorb iron. So these plants are more sensitive to an iron deficiency. And so having a more acidic soil helps to break up the iron in the soil, in your native soil or potting soil, depending on how and where you decide to put your blueberries. But it makes the iron content in the soil more accessible to the plant. And it's pretty easy to find a soil acidifier. The most common soil amendment that's used is sulfur, which, yeah, you know, that sulfur, like rotten egg sulfur. But you can get a pretty clean source of sulfur from any hardware store. If you find the brand Espoma, which is a certified organic brand and product, so it's safe to use in organic production, they have a soil acidifier. It usually has like a bright blue hydrangea on it, because hydrangeas also need an acidic soil. You can use that if you'd like. I like to use a certified organic plant-based plant food, which I have tucked in on my online store as well. So if you're looking at my blueberry bushes, make sure you pick up some blueberry food as well. You can also find like an azalea or Japanese maple plant food. Sometimes that's a little easier to locate, and those will also acidify your soil. As you are shopping for blueberries, blueberry bushes, I have a couple of recommendations to keep top of mind. First thing is make sure you ask your retailer how old the blueberry bushes are. Most of our fruiting plants and our perennial fruiting plants are going to take 1 to 3 years to produce a first harvest. Now, most of the time, if you're able to purchase a large blueberry plant that's already, you know, it looks like it's had at least, you know, 1 year, maybe 2 years of growth. And usually these plants would be somewhere between 2 and 4 feet tall when you bring them home. Usually that's a good indication that your plant is pretty mature, and you might even get blueberries after you plant it this. So if you can ask how old the blueberry bush is that you're about to purchase, then that can help adjust your expectations for when you'll see fruit for the first time. And obviously the older the blueberry bush is, you know, that could have an impact on how much you're paying for the blueberry bush, but it also means that you're going to get more berries right after you plant it. Anytime you do any transplanting, you will have a little bit of transplant shock. So no matter how old the blueberry bush is, even if it's a 3-year-old plant and you plant it this spring, you can expect a little less production just because of that transfer from pot to in the ground or wherever you're growing your blueberries. Another thing that I would just like to call out is that blueberries are usually featured on the Environmental Working Group's list for the Dirty Dozen. When we buy blueberries that are not certified organic, they have been sprayed heavily with pesticides and herbicides. So just keep that in mind. You know, I like to mention that's a good plug, a good motivation for growing your own blueberries at home. And if at all possible, trying to find certified organic blueberry plants to start out with. All of the plants that I have listed on my online store are certified organic, so you don't have to worry about that from me. But as you're shopping, just see if you can find an organic plant. Help keep those toxins out of your body, help keep your liver and all of your other body systems happy and not having to work as hard, and help you absorb all of those beautiful nutrients so much better and so much more efficiently. Two more things to keep in mind as you are shopping for blueberries. It's generally recommended that you plant at least two blueberry bushes. And this is for pollination reasons. Blueberries are actually self-pollinating. So while blueberries will produce, even if you just have one blueberry bush, they will be exponentially more productive if you have more than one blueberry plant. So keep that in mind. My recommendation would be at least two, but get as many as you want. When you plant blueberries at home, you want to space them every 6 feet minimum. You can plant them a little wider apart, but 6 feet is usually a good spacing for blueberries. You can also plant blueberries in the ground directly. They love our, and I say our, for those of you who are new to the show, welcome. Also, I am based in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we are blessed with super heavy clay soil, which is actually really high in iron, which the blueberries like, but it's a really like compact soil as well. But blueberries still thrive in the clay soil. I've never had an issue with growing blueberries directly in the ground here in the Carolinas. So blueberries can be planted directly in the ground. They can also be planted in large containers or grow bags. That's usually where I put my perennial plants, and most of my blueberries are in 20-gallon big grow bags, and I love having my blueberries in those grow bags. You can plant blueberries in raised beds, but just remember that as perennial plants, they like to take up space and continue growing. Maybe you want to save that real estate in your raised beds to more intensive, faster growing crops that tend to have a little bit more high needs, like your seasonal vegetable rotation. So just something to keep in mind there. Another thing to be aware of when it comes to blueberries and shopping for blueberries is the time in the blueberry season in which those specific varieties or the specific variety that you're purchasing will produce fruit. So here in the Carolinas and in North Carolina in particular, our blueberry producing season is usually from May through July. So it's a pretty extended window, right? That's like 3 months of blueberries. So magical. So great. Now, there are different varieties that produce at different parts of that production season. Oh, and there's three different windows to be mindful of or conscientious of as you're shopping for blueberry bushes. And this is important if you really want to have an extended blueberry production across this full season, right? May through July. There are early season varieties, there are mid-season varieties, and there are late season varieties. If you're going to plant two blueberry bushes, maybe you consider doing an early season and a late season. Sometimes you can even get varieties that are early mid-season, like early slash mid-season in the one variety, and then a mid slash late season variety. That would be the best of both worlds because you have an early season that stretches into the mid-season, and then you have a mid-season plant that then stretches into the late season for production. So just play around with that. Of course, if you wanted to do all early seasons, you could. If you wanted to do all mid-seasons or all late seasons, you can definitely do that. But just know that different varieties of blueberries will mature at different points throughout that season. When you go to plant your blueberries, you want to dig a hole that is twice the width of the container that the berry bush is coming in, but the same depth. So you don't need to like bury the plant super deeply in the soil. You want to plant it at the soil line. And you do want to make sure that you've loosened the soil around, you know, where the root ball is going to be nested so that the roots have easy access to fresh, loose soil as they get established. Blueberries do benefit from being in a slightly sandy, well-draining soil. Sometimes, you know, people will add a little bit of sand to the bottom of the hole that they dig. That's not really required, but you can if you would like to. And then making sure that there's just that nice width around, that nice wide hole, you know, that you're putting your berry bush in, and then filling with soil to get it settled. I usually like to add the soil acidifier to the bottom of the hole that I dig and kind of mix it in with some of the native soil. You can also use a couple handfuls of fresh potting soil if you'd like. And then I go ahead and cover and settle in the plant, maybe put a little bit more potting soil, fresh potting soil on top. Then I usually do a sprinkle of the soil acidifier right on top of the freshly tucked in blueberry bush. And then I will usually put some kind of mulch around the top, whether it's leaves that have fallen from the fall, or if you want to get some pine needles are a great mulch for blueberry bushes because they also help to acidify the soil. But yeah, and then just water it in. Usually once your blueberries are planted, you want to water them maybe every other day for like the first week or two. If you are growing them in grow bags, you'll want to water them every other day, kind of ongoing at a minimum. When it comes to blueberry care, because they're perennials, they're super easygoing. They just need, you know, a feeding of that soil acidifier and a little compost, maybe once or twice a year. I usually like to feed my blueberries in the spring, and then like late summer, I'll do another feeding just to help them get prepared for the winter and a little bit of a hibernation. Blueberries will generally lose their leaves in the winter, so don't worry if your plant does that. First, they usually turn like a reddish purple color, which is really pretty, in the fall, and then they'll drop their leaves and go dormant for the winter season, and then they'll start budding, showing signs of life in early March, really. So it's exciting. Blueberry blossoms are sensitive to frost, but not a light freeze. I'm not terribly concerned about like a night where it dips to 32 or even down to 30 degrees. Blueberries are usually just fine if they're left uncovered. However, if it does dip below 30 degrees or you get a hard freeze and you have buds on your plants, you would want to cover those up for sure. After your plants have been growing in your growing space for 2 to 3 years, I would recommend pruning them in the fall or early spring. But, you know, as a perennial plant, there are going to be parts of the plant that kind of lose productivity over time. And pruning is a great opportunity to go in and cut those less productive parts of the plant so that the remaining plant can put energy and life into the more productive parts of the plant. Other than that, they're pretty like hands-off, low-key plants to grow. So if you have the space and you're interested, I would highly recommend growing some blueberries this season. If you have listened to the show in the past, then you will know that at the end of every episode, I like to share just a fun little fact or a tidbit of information that can be related to growing plants for the season. Sometimes it's tangentially related, and sometimes it's just something fun that I feel like sharing with you all. And I have a feeling that there are several of you listening to this podcast who might identify under the term homesteader. So this little fun fact goes out to all of the aspiring homesteaders out there, or those who like to make things for themselves or grow their own things. And this is inspired by a symposium, an event that I went to on Sunday, this past Sunday. It was with an organization called the Piedmont Culinary Guild, which is an organization that connects chefs and farmers where I live. I have been a professional member of the organization since 2017, and was asked actually to present on Sunday, which was a lot of fun. talked all about tomatoes. It was a blast. But my partner came with me and he attended a fermentation class and learned all about kombucha making, which we have done in the past, but he hasn't been super hands-on with that. So he learned all about kombucha, which was really fun for him. And he also learned how to make homemade vinegar, and he attended a workshop on sourdough. So I am happy to report I am recording this on Monday, so the day after attending this symposium, that we now have cultures that have been fed and are thriving on our kitchen counter for kombucha, red wine vinegar, and sourdough. A big shout out to all of the attendees and workshop leaders from that event. That was a digression, and I apologize. The fun fact to share with you is the acronym SCOBY. For those of you who have practiced making kombucha before, then you know what SCOBY is. But for those of you who have not made kombucha at home, but maybe have sampled kombucha or enjoy drinking kombucha, this might be new to you. If you're like, I don't know what kombucha is and what the heck is a SCOBY? Kombucha is a fermented tea drink. It's non-alcoholic. There's no alcohol in, or there's like trace amounts of alcohol present in kombucha, but it's not going to make you tipsy or anything like that if you drink it. But it is a process in which you ferment a sweetened tea, usually black tea, and you have a little SCOBY, or a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. So that's SCOBY. The symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast spells SCOBY, or the acronym SCOBY. But that is what lives in your sweet tea and consumes all of the sugar and digests them and produces these wonderful enzymes that are probiotics and really good for your tummy, which is the main benefit of drinking kombucha, in addition to that it's just really tasty. So there you go. That is your fun fact for today, all about SCOBY and kombucha and fermenting things at home on your kitchen counter. I would love to know if any of you listening also have SCOBYs, also brew your own kombucha. I'm always looking to connect with others who are doing similar things, so let me know if you are. And thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Growing Space podcast. Like I mentioned already in the show, next week we are going to pick up with our Meet the Plant Families mini series. I told you guys we weren't done with this yet for this year. And we're going to learn all about the Cucurbitaceae plant family. So lots of good stuff headed your way to help get you ready for summer and all of the magical things that you're going to be growing this year. I am just so excited for you, for all of us. And we'll see you again next week. Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of the Growing Space podcast. I hope that you learned something new and that you were able to take this new information home with you and implement into your growing journey and into your growing space. As always, I am here to support you and your food growing journey. If you'd like to learn more about the different services and resources and membership programs that I run through The Patio Farmer, please check out my website, thepatiofarmer.com. You can also follow me on social media. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and oh my gosh, most recently, TikTok. Wow. I know. Here I am. Patio Farmer is on TikTok. It's very exciting. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give it a like or a rating or a review if you want. Maybe share a little comment about your favorite part of the episode. Share it with a friend. The more interactions I get with my little podcast online, the more I'm able to help people just like you in their food growing journeys. As always, thanks for being here, and I will see you again next week.